Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I got a question for you. Do you think the charismatics are having more fun?
No.
You know, they seem so bright and they're so cheerful and so, you know, alive. And, you know, they got this neat word of wisdom and they got this little message and, you know, they seem to be hearing from God. And I just wonder, you know, are they having more fun? We can get jealous about them if we think they're having more fun. And so that's one of the questions we're going to try to work with in this series on spiritual gifts. And then, what's the relationship between the gifts and the commands? That's a question, isn't it? You know, we're all supposed to be hospitable, right? We're commanded to be hospitable, but wow. You know, you invite a couple over for dinner or something like that, and you clean for 2 days, and you're bundled nerves, even though you know the meal's going to be good. I mean, you've cooked it a number of times. It's kind of a specialty. You put out your best, but, you know, are they going to like it? Is the house good? You know, everything going to come out smooth? When other people seem to do it, and that's the critical word, that's the operative word, seems like charismatics are having more fun, seems to do it effortlessly because they got the gift. Are we really all supposed to be hospitable? When others seem to do it because they got the gift really easy? Once you find your spiritual gift, will it be something that will life become more pleasant? Will you sense God at work more clearly and more obviously, more evidently? People see things like we've heard this morning about, you know, so obvious people are praying. How often am I aware that people are praying, or that things are different because people prayed, or because of my efforts, you know, this gift thing that I'm supposed to have? Do you wonder about that? I think probably some of us do. Will we enjoy a greater degree of fulfillment like other people seem to have? There's that word again. How many gifts can one person have, you know? Is Bridget's cooking ability, is that a spiritual gift?
Yes.
Amen.
And all God's people said?
Amen.
What about musical ability?
Yes.
Is that a gift?
Yes.
What about a mechanic?
Yes.
Man, when I need my car fixed and the thing is a pile of metal, and Cliff knows what's wrong with it, but I have zero idea. I feel so dependent, you know. I don't need a doctor. I don't need a lawyer. I need a mechanic or a plumber or a whatever, you know. Is that a spiritual gift? What's the relationship between a natural talent and a spiritual gift? What are the purposes of the gift? Why did God give his followers a gift, you know? And then how can we discover our spiritual gift and use it effectively? What else? I'm going to take my pen out right now. What else would you like this series to touch on? Yes.
I don't know if you said it, but how do we know our spiritual gift?
Okay. How do we know our spiritual gift? Okay. We're going to work on that one. Thank you very much for that reminder.
Keith, I always... How to respond to people with other gifts, knowing that you need to remember that your gift and their gift is different, and so you're going to look at every situation differently. It doesn't mean you're wrong. The other is wrong. It just means, so I'm not teaching it, but I would love to look at other people's gifts and how we relate to them.
Okay, let's address that just very quickly. And can you pull those drapes and cut the lights? And take that one off there, please, Allison, put that one on. Yeah, it goes that way.
Huh? We like it, though.
Okay. Push it up just a little bit, Allison. Push it up just a little bit. Yeah. So dessert spills. A dessert spills, and how's the exhorter going to respond? How's the teacher going to respond? How's the server going to respond? How's the mercy person? How about the giver? And now slide it.
5-second rule?
How is the prophet going to respond? Think about that. And this question that Nancy's brought up is so much 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I mean, it, you know, the eye can't say I don't need the foot, and the foot can't say I don't need the hand. And, you know, the eye gets so much attention. Oh, you have such lovely eyes. The foot, how come you're so smelly all the time? This is a real question. I mean, we can do the academics on this thing. Go ahead and turn it off. Turn it back on, if you would, in the lights.
There are certain parts of the body that you don't want to be that part in the...
Thank you. I'm sorry?
Never mind.
I guess that was for the back half of the room, or for not... The hearing people in the congregation, Mike.
There are certain parts of the body you don't want to be.
Folks, we can take care of the academic thing, but the things behind the questions, what I hope you'll be honest about, I hope we can be honest together, because that's where we live, you know?
Sure.
Are others really having more fun? I mean, that's a question.
Yeah.
There's some really neat-looking things going on there that aren't here. Yes. Question over here, comment. Yes, Heather?
So I have a friend. Like, she's a really good friend, and I appreciate her, and I think, you know, that she loves Jesus with all of her heart. But so her gifts, sometimes I wonder about them, because she claims that they speak in tongues and that she's heard her mother or prophetesses. And So I always wonder, like, I mean, I know, like, I've had conversations with people about it, but it's strange to me because I've kind of done some study about that. And is that, you know, like, so where is that coming from if they believe that they have those gifts?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You meet people, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
The Griffins used to attend a church that focused on some of the gifts of the Spirit that others don't feel are for today. And maybe Tony will weigh in eventually here.
I'll have to learn to hold my tongue. No pun intended. Joyce and I came out of that. And you're right, on the surface, this is happy, fun, but to see the results of some of that teaching we've seen firsthand, it's not pretty.
Okay.
I don't know. They wave their flags. They seem to be having a good time.
Does anyone else have a charismatic background?
Huh?
Maybe all three of you will weigh in on the dentist and Valerie. Okay. Yes.
How do they accept their tongues? I've seen it in my family.
I'm sorry?
How they accept their tongues? It's sometimes it's forced on them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we'll chew on this. Anything else you want to work on? Nancy, that's a very good thing, a very practical thing to focus on. Very important what you said. We'll touch on that. Hey, we'll work with that. Anything else? Melissa?
I struggle with it because my parents are going to that church right now.
Uh-huh.
I struggle because we have sometimes, not debates, but I don't know, we have disagreements about doctrine or theology, and it's kind of hard.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to argue, but...
Yeah, how do you...
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll chew on those things and other things, and now I want to ask you a question. Don't respond. Don't respond. Not really. Don't raise your hand. Don't walk out. Would you please take this little slip? If there isn't one handy, maybe a husband and wife can, you know, work on one together. Here's one for you, Alyssa. Or Allison, excuse me. You don't have any back there? Okay. Got a few extras up here. Would you please tell me? And this is not something that you should be uncomfortable with. Don't be intimidated if you don't know your spiritual gift.
I got a comment first, brother.
There's a couple, if you could get on those.
It's my gift. Plural. Plural.
We will talk about that.
Okay.
If you would mark, do you know your spiritual gift? If you'd circle one, yes, no, not sure. And number two, if yes, to what degree of certainty do you enjoy about knowing your gift? Are you about 25% sure what it is, or 75%, or 90%, or 100%? If you would just mark that, don't put your name on it, but just leave it for me to get later. Just leave it around on the tables. That would help me to know where we are. Pardon?
Husbands count as spiritual gifts.
In our case, definitely.
I think that many people do not know their spiritual gift into middle age. So don't be intimidated. I think some people simply have not lived long enough to know their spiritual gift. They've not invested enough energy to discover their spiritual gift. And so we'll work on that. And then what's the difference between classical charismatics of 30, 40 years ago and what's called a third wave? What's the difference there? You know, gifts are supposed to unify. They're supposed to bring the body together. I want to read to you very briefly Psalms 133. Jesus said in John 17:23, he said, you're turning with me to Psalms 133, if you would, please. He said there in John 17:23, he said, if you are united, then the world will acknowledge that I am from the Father. That's John 17:23. So our unity, your unity in a marriage, your unity in your extended family, your unity, our unity as a class, our unity as a church, our unity as a denomination. You know, there's 22 different kinds of Baptists. We don't have much unity. Sometimes we do, to some degree we do, but Jesus said, if you're united, that will be a testimony to the fact that I've come from the Father and what I've done in your life is powerful and effective and life-altering. It's a game changer. I'm a game changer. If you're united. If we're not united, then we kind of give the opposite testimony. In Psalms 133, we read this, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. So unity is good and pleasant. It's like the precious oil pouring on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, and there the Lord blesses his, bestows his blessing, even life evermore. A few parallels between unity and this anointing oil, okay? Psalms 133. First of all, unity perfumes. You know, there's an atmosphere that is given off by a family, by a class, by a church, by a company. Some institutions in which you come, you stress, you just sense the odor of stress and the odor of division. And there's other situations you come into and there's just a sense of, I'm home, I'm comfortable, I'm accepted, I'm loved, I'm wanted. And there's a beautiful thing. The anointing oil perfumed Aaron and his sons, didn't it? And unity does that for us. It perfumes things for us. Secondly, anointing oil is temporary. It's temporary. I wonder if you'd been around Aaron, if he would have had a nice aroma to him 2 days later, or a week later, or 2 weeks later. Well, it's kind of temporary. Unity's temporary, isn't it? It's something that we need to be conscious of. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So it takes some effort to be unified. Number three, so it perfumes, it's temporary. It's number three, it sanctifies for service. It was this occasion of anointing Aaron and his sons that created the opportunity of service. Much unity, much service, much progress. Little unity or the degree of unity, less unity, less progress, less service that's changing, life-changing. Leviticus 8:12 says that Moses poured the oil on Aaron, sanctifying him or consecrating him for service. Anointing sanctifies us and sets us apart for service. Number four, Aaron was dignified by the solemn occasion of being anointed. Unity dignifies us. There is power. When you see a husband and wife getting along, there's power in that relationship. Been there? There's unity there. There's power in that. There's dignity in that. Unity dignifies a church. It dignifies a class. It dignifies a marriage. It dignifies a company. Number five, it's costly. Anointing oil was costly. God gave specific instructions about how to make it. The elements were expensive. Unity also can be expensive because it's tough to maintain because we're such sinners. And this person with this gift is running 110 miles an hour. He really needs to be cruising at about 80, you know? And it's just overwhelming. Or this person over here is functioning at 14% and they need to be at a healthy 75. And so unity is not easy to maintain. And then notice this factor, and it is a critical factor. Do you notice how many times it says that it ran down? Three times. Look at the text. Mm-hmm. The anointing oil ran down. What does that say? It didn't stay where it was put. It didn't stay where it was placed. What does that mean? What's it talking about? What's the parallel to unity? As the anointing oil runs down, what's the point? What's the parallel?
It's covering the person,
I'm sorry?
It's covering and spreading over the person. It's
spreading over the person. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And that tells us what? What's the real practical application of that?
Unity should spread.
Right. Say it again, louder.
Unity should spread.
Disunity spreads.
Yeah.
Unity spreads. So what we say in private is really powerful because unity or disunity spreads.
Right.
It, three times the text emphasizes it moves. It runs. It doesn't say where it's placed. It moves. So we need to be conscious of that. The gifts are meant to unify. They're meant to bring people together. So, by the way, what Bible characters do you see having unity? Or rather, excuse me. What Bible characters do you recognize a particular gift?
Barnabas, encouragement.
Okay. Thank you.
Abigail.
I'm sorry?
Abigail,
peacemaker. Okay. Thank you.
Lydia showed hospitality.
Mm-hmm. Lydia showed hospitality. Okay, thank you. Yes, Ruth.
Mordecai, spiritual wisdom for Esther.
Okay, good. What was the Apostle Paul's gift? And does in partial response to David, did he have one gift or more gifts?
Many.
Many gifts. Okay, what were they?
Teaching.
Communicating.
Pardon?
Leading.
Teaching, leading.
Communicator.
Communicator.
Exhorting.
Evangelism.
Okay. What about Elijah, fiery prophet Elijah? What was his spiritual gift?
Prophecy.
What?
Prophecy.
I kind of gave it away in the question, didn't I?
You know, Peter
says he was a man of like passions. Okay, he was a lot like us. He had, the Wetwood Revival where he killed 450 prophets there.
The Wetwood Revival?
Yeah.
Wetwood.
You know what I'm talking about.
Okay, Wetwood Revival. Okay.
And then he runs with his tail between his legs from Jezebel, right?
Yeah.
So he was just like us. You know, we have our mountaintop experiences where we have victory, and then we run away like a little puppy.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, these Bible characters, it's good to think about their giftedness as we move through things. Why did God give spiritual gifts? What are the purpose of spiritual gifts?
To edify the body.
Okay, very good. I want to suggest that God gave a spiritual gift so every Christian can have the delight, fulfillment, and joy, of God working through their giftedness. God wants you to have a sense of well-being and contribution to the kingdom through the use of your spiritual capacity to bless others. Number two, to build the body of Christ, nourish the believers around us for the common good, according to 1 Corinthians 12:7. Number three, use results in others. Use of our gift results in others growing spiritually. And number four, your gift is for the benefit of others. Theirs is for you, for your benefit. Okay? The purpose of spiritual gifts. Now, what is a spiritual gift? What is a spiritual gift? What or who is the spirit in the phrase spiritual gift? A nice big voice.
Spirit of God.
Yeah, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit.
So it's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives a spiritual gift. Okay? So they're supernatural. They're a gift of the Spirit. Not just some spirit, any spirit, but the Spirit of God. There is spiritual in nature. And it's a gift. You know, how do you feel about a gift? You like getting gifts?
Yeah.
gift. Okay, it's a gift. That has a positive connotation to it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. A spiritual gift, a gift from the Spirit of the living God. It's supernatural. It's holy. It's a gift given to us that we're to delight in and relish in and find a sense of well-being from. Paul uses various words to indicate spiritual gifts. Pneumatica is a translated spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 14:1. The spiritual gifts are the spirit of the prophets, the subject of the prophets, 1 Corinthians 14:32. Charismata is used in 1 Corinthians 12:4. We'll be looking at that shortly. And ergomai, from which we get our word energy, is used in 1 Corinthians 12:6. Pneumata, Ephesians 4:8. Diakonia, a form of it is found in 1 Corinthians 12:5. And that's the word from which we get the Greek word from which you get our English word deacon, which means that this is a serving kind of a thing. It's a gift that serves. Charisma, or Charissa Binge was named after this Greek word. It's used in Ephesians 4:7 for gifts of the Spirit. Such effectiveness is a gift to you from God that becomes a gift for the benefit of others that's exercised. Gifts are not about natural, inherent human potential. They're gifts from God. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, the spiritual gift is identified as a manifestation of the Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit showing up in your life. I think that's just kind of amazing. It stresses the spiritualness of it, and it stresses that the Holy Spirit is manifested or shown or known through a believer to another believer. I have always been teased by 2 Peter 1:4. Would you look at that one? God has given us exceeding great and precious promises through these promises, we become, and this is an amazing statement. I know I've pointed out to you before. It just so teases me, tickles my mind, verse 4, 2 Peter 1:4, that through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise so that through them you may participate, you may become a partaker of the divine nature and escape the corruption the world is caused by lust. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I don't feel all that divine. And Marilyn can fill in the rest. The Holy Spirit shows up in our lives when He, the Spirit, gifts us to impact others for their good. And this is a mysterious thing. We don't feel all that divine. It's kind of hard to recognize, isn't it? Were you participating with the divine nature on Tuesday morning from 10:03 in 20 seconds to 10:12 in 19 seconds? I mean, can you put something on your arm, kind of a little meter that says, "Oh, you are really powered up, buddy." You know? Wouldn't that be nice? You are functioning in the Spirit. By the way, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit?
You're filled when you're born again.
Okay.
And then you have to walk in His will and His word and doing God's will.
Okay. Very good.
Your speech and your action.
Okay. Walking and doing His will. Being filled with the Spirit, to add the Roots definition, is being controlled or dominated by the Spirit of God. And this is what's funny about it. You know, you don't. It'd be nice if you kind of glowed like neon, wouldn't it? But I'm powered up, full power here. Is that the way it works? I wish it did, don't you? I mean, you could listen to people sometimes when they were blinking at you. Other times, you're not filled with Spirit right now. Wouldn't it be handy? I wish it worked that way. It doesn't work that way. We're likely more aware of a phone call ringing. Through God's gifting of us, we partake of the divine nature. The Holy Spirit shows up in our lives and He brings progress. Now we come to a critical question that David has already touched on a little bit. How many gifts are there? How many? You got the list of the gifts, don't you? I mean, you got the chart there of all the various lists of where the gifts are found. Right there. You got it?
Good. Thank you.
Good, Victor. So Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 8:28, and Ephesians 4. Here are the lists in Scripture of the various gifts. I wish I were smarter. I would recognize instantly in Scripture what gift Moses was, and what gift Martha was, and what gift Andrew was. Hey, I got a question for you. As we continue to explore this thing about how many gifts. What do you think Mike's gift is? Mike, wait.
Didactic, teaching, administration, encouragement.
Teaching, administration. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think my gift is?
Teaching, encouragement, prayer.
Okay. What do you think Bert's gift is? And let me tell you something, just a second. Before you say anything, he told me this morning his gift is not teaching.
But he's wrong.
Yeah. What would he know, right?
Hey, he's a good teacher.
Okay. Okay.
What is it?
We're going to figure it out. We're going to talk about it. Okay. By way of getting there, you need to do a little bit of work here. Now, what can we non-Greek speaking types say about this?
It's all Greek.
Yeah. Besides that. What do you see in the passage? Just look at it. Now don't just tune out. Look at the text in front of you. Oh wait, yeah, do you have it? You do, don't you? You've got it, yeah. It's here on this sheet. And then you've got it below that, you've got an interlinear. We're going to refer to this sheet several times, so if we haven't covered it very much or said much about it, just stick this in your Bible if you would. But look at this sheet now. It's got the Greek text, which is on the board before you. And then below it, it's got the interlinear. An interlinear is the Greek on the top and the English on the bottom. The equivalent, word-for-word equivalency, basically, you see? And let's look at this now. Anything that jumps out to you on this Greek text?
Well, the only thing I recognize, not even looking at this copy, is Dios, D-E-O-S, is recognized as being the word for God.
Okay.
That's the only thing I would recognize or think about in that passage.
Okay. Do you know what this word is? This is the word kurios. You see that letter that looks like a P? They pronounce it R. They'll pronounce it like an R, kurios. It's used over 1,000 times in the Bible in reference to the Lord Jesus, equivalent of the Old Testament Yahweh. And then what is this boy? Here's our old friend Pi. Pi R squared, what, 3.14?
3.1416.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so we got Pi, we got a P, and then we got an N, and an E, and a kind of a U, and then we got looks like a upside down something here. Is an M. Numa.
Spirit.
Muma. What?
Spirit.
I heard
spirit.
It. Spirit. Hebrew word is ruach or wind or breath. The spirit. So we've got the spirit here, and we got the Father here. So what do we got here in the middle? We got kurios,
right.
Okay? So it's really, the text is really the West Gorton text, my text from the Greek New Testament. Really, you know, real handy right there. We got spirit. Lord Jesus, and God. Okay? Now, hang on to that for a second. How are we doing on time? Oh, man. I got half past. What do we close? At 11 o'clock?
Church starts at 10:45.
Okay. Now, here's our old friend Delta, right? Delta Dental, Delta. It wasn't originally with them. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, fourth letter. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth. Hebrew letters. Okay, that's a D. Dia? Dia Erases. Dia Erases. Where do you see that word in the text? Don't cheat now. Don't look at the interlinear yet.
Oh, no.
Don't fudge. Hey, we're being Greek students right now. Look at the text. Where does that word occur? It occurs here. Where else?
Verse 5, verse 6.
Okay, verse 5 right there. That's the word for chi, for and. Okay, that same word. And it talks about diversities or varieties, you see? That's that Greek word we're going to be looking at in the interlinear in just a moment. Okay? Now, how about this big bad boy? What's that one saying? Energeo is the basic root word. It means to energize or work. Okay? And diakonia, this is a form of the word diakonia, or deacon or servant, where we get our word. And there's some interesting other things too here. You see this boy? You see this bad boy right here? Looks like autos. You got autos. Where's the third one? Otto. Okay, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. It's texted laid out very nicely. It's saying the same. It's the same. Those are some thoughts from the Greek text. Let me see what I've missed here. Here's our word, charismata. This is a kind of a CH sound and the R sound, and that's a form of charismata, gift or grace. Okay, we move on to the next slide, if you would, Allison, please. Now let's look down at the interlinear. You've got the interlinear right there. Look at the interlinear passage now on the bottom of your sheet. You see the Greek in the top and the English in the bottom. And you can get out your Strong's Concordance and you can become a Greek student without speaking Greek by using an interlinear like this. That's
one more at a time.
Now let's come to this important slide. And we're going to have to end pretty quick here. There are different kinds of gifts. Now there are varieties of motivation, charismata. I believe that there are seven basic gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 7. I think every one of you have that one of those basic gifts. Now, Bert told me this morning his gift was not teaching. He is motivated. A motivational gift is what moves you, what gets you moving, what gets you cranked up, what floats your boat, what you're interested in. You see? He's not motivated by teaching. You know what he's motivated by? Bert?
Exhortation.
Exhortation, which is translated in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, as encouragement. He teaches as a way to exhort or to encourage. What is my gift? If you had to look at the gifts, what is my gift?
Encouragement.
Pardon?
Encouragement.
Encouragement. Now, one form, varieties of ways that you serve. You see, you minister, you administrate, diakonia. One of the ways we serve when we have manifestations, workings, energies, energema, energy, but the same God who empowers them all. I am moved to encourage people. I can't take any credit for that. I don't have any blame for that. You don't have any credit for what your gift is or blame for what your gift is. That's just the way God's wired you. And as you engage and develop your spiritual, as you focus on that, you see, you have one basic thing that moves you. And then you have different ways of serving that expressed outward, do you see? And God manifests himself. He appears in your life as you exercise your gift, and people say, oh, that was fabulous. That was wonderful. That meal, Bridget, was great, you know? And they're blessed. We go to a bait and we hear a blessing. We hear Mike teach, and we sense some savvy there and some awareness there and some insight there, and we're blessed, you see. One of the things I want to work on is good mental hygiene. Because as we think about gifts, inevitably, being the sinners that we are, we tend to feel like, boy, they really got a lot, and I didn't get much. Or I got a lot, and I get proud about it, or whatever, you know. There's some, the academics, as I say on this thing, is one thing. To really get to where we live is another matter. And we want to work on that, and I'm going to need you to be really honest. I'm going to try to be honest, and I trust that God will bless our time together, okay? Think about those little pictures, you know, how the servant would respond, how the prophet would respond, how the exhorter would respond, and we'll work on that next week, okay? Mm-hmm. Father, we love you. We ask your grace. Help this series, Father. Otherwise, it'll be just so much human stuff. Lord, you got to do it. You got to help people. You got to help me. Have mercy upon us, Father. Bless in the hour to come. May it be a great time. May we sing to you. May we be refreshed. May we please you. Lord, bless our lives, we pray. Give us a great love for Jesus Christ. We praise you for the big buck dinner. We praise you for the debate. Father, we were defeated about this vote in the Senate this week, but Lord, you're on the throne, and we do ask you to grace our country, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, we express our heart this moment. Amen.
Amen.
See you next week.